Hello, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to the Watching Silent Films podcast, where we watch silent films and talk about them. This is one of your hosts, Lily, flying solo tonight. At the time of this recording, in March of 2020, the coronavirus has struck the globe and is forcing people to, quote-unquote, social distance from each other to dissuade the virus from contracting on another person. This means many of us have a lot of downtime now. Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus. All these streaming platforms allow us to step away from the real world. However, unlike these new, action-packed films and TV shows, with their subtle lighting and good contrast and their superstar actors, we're stepping back into another era completely. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the 1915 classic, The Cheat, starring Sessue Hayakawa, Fanny Ward, and Jack Dean, Ward's real-life husband, which I found out earlier today. The film was produced and directed by legendary Cecil B. DeMille. This is the story of a spoiled society woman, Fanny Ward, who embezzles money from the Red Cross Foundation. Upon losing the money, essentially believing her luck wouldn't run out and she would gain even more income, she agrees to take the money from a wealthy Japanese man, Hishiru Tori Hayakawa, in exchange for certain favors. If you want a passionate tale that dissects society and only lasts an hour, this is definitely one film to watch. How I came across The Cheat was essentially a recommendation on YouTube from when we watched one of our last silent films. The idea of The Cheat captured my interest right away. Love, scandal, and attempted murder. What's not to like in a film such as this? Though originally released in 1915, the version I found online was actually the re-release in 1918, where they had also changed Hayakawa's character's name to the Burmese ivory trader, Haka Arakau, not to confuse people. Robert Israel directs the music in this version, which was in 1994, and truly the opening of the first act is really what drew me in. The music is incredibly powerful and stunning. You have the Asian flair looking at Arakau's character, working hard and stamping his imprint onto certain objects that he owns. We then change to Fanny Ward's character, and then eventually her husband. What also draws you into this film is how eloquent it is. The movie is now 105 years old and still holds up to some of the best of today. This drama was Cecil B. DeMille's most successful film during the silent era, and led him to create more content after this. Fanny Ward's character Edith Hardy and her stockbroker husband, Richard, lightly battle over the fact that she does want that high life. She wants that rich life. She deserves it, and she's going to get it no matter what, much to her husband's dismay. Now, in the context of the film, I myself actually was unsure about the relationship between Edith Hardy and Arakau. Were they lovers, or was he just her consultant? This was something I was unsure about at the time of watching this film. As the movie continues, it goes to show that they do indeed have some type of relationship, and he may even have an inkling of affection towards her, despite her being married. Just to repeat myself, it's a very saucy scandal, which I totally approve. It's just another one of the elements that makes this movie so good. Arakau is portrayed as an upstanding citizen, caring for Mrs. Hardy. Yet as this movie continues, that charming face and bright smile transforms into this film's biggest villain. At the high society ball of the Red Cross, Mrs. Hardy takes a chance on a poker game. She ends up losing $10,000 and has no way to pay the funds back to the Red Cross. Upon hearing this, Arakau loans her the money. She gets the 10 grand back, and everything goes back to the way it was, or so it seems. She is now in debt to Arakau, and this is where things really take a turn. The charming swagger of someone who was once her valet, her friend, her confidant, becomes all that much more sinister as the movie continues. Thoughtless to her flirtation, when her husband's long-awaited business deal finally materializes, she desperately tries to withdraw from her and Arakau's agreement by replacing the money. However, he is not thrilled. angered and disappointed with her resistance to his advances, which finally come to fruition, he uses a branding device and marks her shoulder as his property. She is now considered his. Because of this, Edith shoots him with a gun, which is actually owned by Arakau, he teasing her with it only moments earlier. She flees the scene. Now, during this time, Richard actually follows his wife to Arakau's property and finds him stunned and bleeding from the bullet wound. Arakau reveals torn lace, and Richard knows his wife was indeed there. The police eventually arrive, and Richard takes the blame to save his wife. Arakau turns out okay, and Edith eventually goes to him, pleading for him to drop the case. And here he delivers one of his best lines, "You cannot cheat me twice." I don't know, guys. You do the math. He either means love, friendship, money. You get the gist of what he means, even though the film's silent. Richard eventually goes to trial, where he is indeed found guilty upon attempted murder. Edith breaks down and shows the court her branding. Richard's case is overturned, and basically that's the end of the film. Even though, reality check, that's not how court cases work. Even though we made it to the end of the film, I wanted to bring us back to when Edith first stepped into Arakau's study. Noting on Edith's uncertainty calls upon how we are as a society currently. Many of us have lost our jobs because of the virus scare and have had to file for unemployment. Many fear for the worst and are flocking to the grocery stores or stocking up on ammunition. We're on the fringe of desperate, and we're afraid of the unknown, much like she was. Unsure of where her money is going to come from, or even how she's going to replace it quickly, Edith knows she's in deep trouble. Because of her foolishness, greediness, and desire to stay in that high life, the suddenness of uncertainty nearly cripples her. It's only because Arakau offers his assistance to her that the story truly begins to unfold. Now, on another note, because this is the silent film era, I wanted to take a brief moment to talk about their acting. Fanny Ward is dramatic, over the top, and uses big gestures. She faints like a classic damsel in distress. He is subtle with his expressions, Sesui Hayakawa's broodingly handsome face giving little away as we study him on the screen even more. We want to know his intentions behind those subtle smiles as he barely gives anything away to his audience. Comparing these two stars is a great example of how acting has evolved over the years. Unbeknown to me before I watched this film, Sesui Hayakawa was a Japanese actor and a matinee idol. He was one of the biggest stars in Hollywood during the silent film era, between the 10s and early 20s. He was the first actor of Asian descent to achieve stardom as a leading man. Not even a side character, he was a leading man, which is incredible to think now in 2020. His broodingly handsome good looks and typecasting as a sexually dominant villain made him a true heartthrob among American women during this time of racial discrimination. And he actually became a sex symbol in Hollywood. Go figure. Like with Cecil B. DeMille, The Cheat was his breakout role, and thereafter he became famous for his roles of a forbidden lover. Hayakawa was a highly paid star in his time, earning $3,500 a week in 1919. I'm not sure how much that is nowadays, but it's a lot of money. It's sad, though, because we actually ended up losing Hayakawa. He left Hollywood in 1922 because of rising anti-Japanese sentiment and some of his own business difficulties. He was a performer on Broadway, Japan, and in Europe for many years before making his Hollywood comeback in Daughter of the Dragon, 1931. One of his best-known roles after the silent era ended was playing Colonel Saito in The Bridge on the River Kwai in 1957, for which he earned a nomination for Best Supporting Actor. Hayakawa starred in over 80 films, and of three, The Cheat, The Dragon Painter, and The Bridge on the River Kwai, they stand in the United States National Film Registry. There's a lot of fascinating knowledge learning about Sesu Hayakawa. His popularity equaled that of Douglas Fairbanks, one of Hollywood's very firsts. Like many of our silent films in this podcast, many of Hayakawa's own are lost before the talkies started. It is said that his legacy is everlasting, thanks especially to the Asian American community. This is a quote from media professor Carla Ray Fuller from 2010. What is even more remarkable about Hayakawa's precedent-setting career in Hollywood as an Asian American is the fact that he is virtually ignored in film history as well as star studies. Furthermore, the fact that he reached such a rare level of success whereby he could form and run his own production company makes his omission from the narrative of Hollywood history even more egregious. Now, reading that, it is very true. In college, I took a film studies course, and of course, we only hear about the greats, the white male directors. Of course we've heard of Alfred Hitchcock. Of course we've heard of Cecil B. DeMille. But where does Lois Weber come in? Alice Guy Blechet? What about Oscar Michaud? Certainly we can't forget Sesu Hayakawa as well. Not to mention the unnamed Native American directors, as we learned and watched in previous podcasts. I think one of the reasons we have this podcast is to showcase the truth behind Hollywood's legends. History has been written one way, while incomplete fact is left virtually unknown until someone digs it up. Our film history is built upon the backs of all people, no matter the sex or race. Sesu Hayakawa is just one of the many great, successful unknowns Hollywood has buried, and shame on them, in my opinion. Thinking about it now, maybe the cheat in watching it this week wasn't just a happenstance or coincidence. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Cheat. Next week, we'll be back on track. And we thank you for listening. Tune in each week and hear a new podcast from Bob, myself, and Yifeng. You can find us at watchingsilentfilms.wordpress.com. I'm your host, Lily, signing off.